Governor Walker announced last week that his administration will study the possibility of eliminating Wisconsin's personal income tax. And we will discuss this effort with two experts in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 23rd. The governor said at his economic summit in northern Wisconsin last week that other states that have no income tax are doing very well, better than most states in the country, he said, in terms of jobs and economic development. We'll discuss if this is true and what could or would replace or make up for no income tax. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We did reach out to Revenue Secretary Rick Chandler and Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish to join us today, but neither could. They held a roundtable discussion on tax reform last week at the Governor's Northern Wisconsin Economic Development Summit, where the governor announced the state is considering ending the personal income tax as part of a major review of the state's tax structure. Let me welcome our first guest, very happy to have with us, Andrew Reshofsky, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Applied Economics at UW-Madison, and a visiting fellow at the Massachusetts-based Lincoln Institute of Land Policy. His research focuses on tax policy and intergovernmental fiscal relations. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So what is, let me just get your overall reaction to the state of Wisconsin investigating whether it's feasible or not to eliminate the income tax. Wasn't Wisconsin the birthplace of the progressive income tax?
It was indeed. Many years ago, almost 100 years ago, we started the first state with a progressive income tax. I guess my initial reaction is, and you used the word feasible, that it really is not likely to be feasible to completely eliminate the income tax. In the year that just finished, we raised $7.5 billion from the income tax. And if we were going to get rid of it, it kept 53% of the state's total general fund revenues. Just to give you an example, let's say we replace that revenue with a sales tax. It's hard to precisely estimate the rate that we would need, but it's probably in excess of 13.5%.
That would be tax rate. Yeah, that would add quite a bit of money to every item we purchase.
I'll say, and in fact, if you said, okay, we'll just go up to an 8% rate, that would fill about a third of the revenue gap that would arise from getting rid of the income tax.
There's some, though, including the a Wisconsin tax policy research group that says, well, one way is not just raise the sales tax, but expand it to things that aren't currently taxed, like even professional services, even possibly the sale of a home.
That's absolutely right. We probably should expand somewhat the sales tax base in the state. And certainly if we expanded it, that rate increase, whatever the numbers are, would be smaller. So those rates, that 13.5% rate, assumes that there's no expansion of the base. But there's been a lot of talk, and a lot of states over the years have said we're going to expand to services, all services, professional services. And generally, that turns out to be politically impossible. If you say to all lawyers, we're going to tax your services, you can be sure that all the lawyers will be up in arms, or accountants, or architects. Mm-hmm. So it may be a good thing to do if we could tax personal legal services, but we shouldn't be taxing the legal services of businesses, because they just roll. If they pay higher, then they charge the amount that the businesses charge people gets increased. And so a sales tax that just focuses on all services would be great, but very hard to do. And many services, medical services, rents, and so forth, would burden those with low incomes and modest incomes very heavily, would make, in effect, the sales tax more regressive than it is.
How do the other states that don't have an income tax manage, then?
In different sort of ways. So the governor explicitly, I think, mentioned Texas and Florida. In Texas, they have oil. And if they don't have an income tax, they have a fairly high sales tax. They have very high property taxes, even relative to Wisconsin. And they get an immense amount of revenue from getting oil out of the ground. We don't have that in Wisconsin, and there's not any prospect for that. Florida is a state, as we all know, that's a magnet for retirees, for tourists. They make a lot of tax revenue from taxing services and goods purchased by tourists, by visitors, by part-time residents. And nevertheless, they also have levels of service, public service, quality schools and so forth that are inferior to those that we have learned to enjoy and prosper from in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Explain how we know that their level of services is inferior.
I guess you can... That's a good question, and the only way to make those sort of judgments is to look at specific services that are measurable. So the proportion of low-income individuals who are eligible for Medicaid, for instance, which is quite high in Wisconsin, is very low in both Florida and particularly in Texas. How students do in schools, the so-called NAEP scores, which is a national test in all states, where the scores are substantially lower in Texas, I know. I don't know about Florida, relative to Wisconsin.
And what about other fees? Some say that, I don't know, for a car registration, for example, that other states like Kansas pay hundreds of dollars more than Wisconsin. Could some of this revenue be made up with higher fees?
It could indeed, and it is true that in Wisconsin we rely less on fees and more on taxes than the average state and many other states. It is important, though, to realize even if we expanded fees fairly dramatically, put tolls on all our interstate highways, raise college tuition. We've raised more revenue, but that $7.5 billion funding gap is really large, and there is no way one could even become close to making up that amount of money with fees.
I imagine we might get a call from someone that just says, "Just cut the programs that we're providing now as a state, and we won't have to make up $7.5 billion."
That's obviously an option, and those are political decisions. But a lot of the argument that is made, I guess, in support of lowering income taxes has to do with strategies to increase growth and well-being of Wisconsin residents, make economic growth rise, increase employment. The governor has focused on that quite a bit. And if we're going to cut back state funding, the largest single thing that state spends money on is K-12 education. And we cut back education, the prospects for future economic growth just diminish. If we cut in half the size of the university system, for instance, that wouldn't begin to fill the funding gap, but at least it would make a dent in it. And if we had poorer highways, all of those things in the long run, maybe not tomorrow, but in the longer run, would reduce the rate of growth in the state of Wisconsin, make Wisconsin a less attractive place, which would then hurt our ability to attract residents and high-income residents, to keep educated workers, all of the things that I think most of us believe are important and value in life in Wisconsin.
We are talking about a plan, a proposal with the Walker administration. The Walker administration is considering eliminating Wisconsin's income tax. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The governor says that eliminating the income tax and increasing or expanding the sales tax is on the table as the administration looks at tax reform in 2014. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our state capitol report. We are talking about the possibility, the feasibility of Wisconsin dropping its income tax. What do you think? What's your reaction to this plan to at least investigate this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Andrew Reshofsky, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. And Stephen on Facebook says, I'll ask people to look at their own finances and decide whether doubling the sales tax to about 12% would help them more than paying a 5.6% income tax. Remember, he adds, your taxable income is figured after deductions and credits. A reaction to that, Professor Reshofsky?
Sure, that's a good question that everybody should be asking. If we really could and did eliminate income tax and replace it with a sales tax, people want to know, are my taxes, the taxes I pay to Wisconsin state government, can go up or down? And although we can't answer that question absolutely precisely, the data is pretty clear that maybe at least half of the population, probably closer to 60%, of Wisconsin taxpayers with the lowest income would end up paying more, and those that would get large tax increases, large tax reductions, would pay less. Are those 40% or so of Wisconsin residents who have the highest incomes?
Yeah, in fact, Brad on Facebook, I think, is affirming that. He writes, the poor pay more in taxes than the rich already as a percentage of their income, even if they don't pay income taxes. This elimination of the income tax and increasing a sales tax would make them pay more taxes and the rich would pay less. Is that right?
That's right. So I looked last night at the latest data I had, so 2010 actual income tax data from the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And if we took all about 2.5 million people who filed tax returns, and divided them into five equal, what economists call quintiles, so 500,000 taxpayers, the lowest 500,000 in income, all the way up to the highest 500,000, those in the poorest, the lowest income, if we eliminate the income tax, would end up maybe paying on average $25 less in income tax, but a lot more in sales tax. Those in the richest or the highest income, 20% of the population, would have their income taxes reduced by $7,900 on average. And obviously, the higher income you are, the reductions would go up dramatically.
Can the argument be made, though, that the higher income individuals who aren't paying as much in income taxes would then create some jobs with that money, and the state would could be better off with economic development?
This is, I think, the argument that's at the core of the proposal, the belief that if we just lowered income taxes, that would attract new business people to the state, would energize economic growth, would lead to in-migration of high-income individuals. And it's a good story, but in fact, there's a lot of evidence that it's not true. Scientific statistical analysis finds very little evidence that economic growth rates are influenced by state marginal tax rates. And looking at two states, so the governor or anyone else may look at Texas and say, oh, over the last couple of years, their growth rate was higher than Wisconsin. They don't have an income tax, and we do. So voila, that means that if we just eliminated our income tax, growth would rise. And the problem is you can't do that. There's so many things that influence economic growth, and opponents to the proposal could point, for instance, to our neighbor to the north, Minnesota, which just last year raised its top income tax rate to substantially higher than we have in Wisconsin, and their economic growth, their new employment has grown dramatically faster than Wisconsin's. And it's been well publicized. The new growth in the Walker administration, for instance, has been employment growth has been slower in Wisconsin than in all of our neighbors in the Midwest. And states like Iowa, too, have much higher income tax rates. That's not a proof of anything comparing two states, but certainly systematic studies find that there really isn't any relationship between income taxes and economic growth.
Let's go to Cody in Oshkosh. Hi, Cody. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Nationally, Republicans have pushed something called a fair tax, which I believe is just a sales tax. Does this go along with that? And also, my father always speaks highly of, when I was little, we lived in Pennsylvania, and they didn't have a property tax. They got rid of that and expanded their income tax. And how would that affect taxes? Thank you.
So I actually grew up in Pennsylvania, and my mother lived there until recently, and I know that Pennsylvania, in fact, does have a property tax. What happened, I think, is that, particularly due to pressure for school funding, they instituted an income tax a number of years ago that allowed them to reduce somewhat the reliance on the property tax, but they retain the property tax. And one of the potential dangers for those who don't like the property tax is if there's less state tax revenue, the single most important area in which we spend state tax revenue is for money to school districts and money to municipalities, particularly for education. And that's one way of keeping the property tax down, so that unless we continue a ceiling on property taxes, if we reduce state tax revenue by reducing income taxes, we're likely to face higher property taxes.
Is this a push for a fair tax system, the Republican fair tax system that our caller mentioned?
So over the years, there have been a number of proposals at the national level to move away from the income tax towards some sort of consumption tax. The fair tax, I think the caller is correct, was effectively a national sales tax. And the analysis of that suggests that we would need an extraordinarily large fair tax. I don't recall the numbers exactly, but somewhere in the range of 25% rate in order to make up the revenue, or at least most of the revenue. And that kind of rates would clearly distort people's behavior. They would do anything to avoid the tax. Cheating would be rampant. So I don't think economists that have looked at this proposal seriously, in effect, take it very seriously.
Matthew,
and in fact, it hasn't moved anywhere.
We have a short time before news, and we let you go and bring another guest in. Matthew on Facebook says, unless you want folks to continue moving to states like Florida with no income taxes, something like this has to occur. are people flocking to Florida because they don't have an income tax?
A lot of people, and I've just seen some researchers at Stanford are looking at mobility, particularly among those people with very high incomes. And a lot of people do move to Florida, but Florida also has some things that attract people, namely warm weather. You get away from, I just heard the weather forecast, you get away from the snow. And disentangling whether the income tax has any impact is very difficult. In fact, there's a PhD dissertation written at the University of Wisconsin, which looked at that question with using statistical techniques and couldn't find that taxes really drew individuals. Yes, people move to Florida, and for some of them, taxes make a difference, but weather makes a difference, too.
Yeah.
The fact that there are other retirees.
In our last 30 seconds, so you're saying it's not very feasible for Wisconsin to drop its income tax.
I think it's not feasible, and it's unwise for the following reason, that over time, the income tax base grows as incomes grow. The sales tax base, because more and more on the internet, more and more consumption comes from services, is going to shrink. So if we move away from the income tax to the sales tax, the long-run prospect is that tax revenue in Wisconsin would grow at a slower and slower rate.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us. Andrew Reshofsky is a professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. We'll continue to discuss the possibility of Wisconsin eliminating the personal income tax during this half of our State Capitol Report with a different guest who says this tax policy change would be regressive. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, December 23rd. So what do you think? Do you think getting rid of the state's income tax is a good or a bad idea, and why? What questions do you have about the Walker administration's plan to at least study dropping the income tax and perhaps increasing or expanding the sales tax? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Governor Walker said at his economic summit in northern Wisconsin last week that other states are doing just fine without an income tax. He says that states like Texas and Florida are doing better than some other states in terms of jobs and economic development, and he wants the income tax to be on the table in a major review of the state's tax structure. We did, by the way, invite Revenue Secretary Rick Chandler to join us during the State Capitol Report. His office referred us to Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, and our calls to invite Lieutenant Governor Clayfish to join us on the State Capitol Report were not returned. So we asked a couple of other experts to join us. Jack Norman is with us now, Milwaukee-based writer, former research director at the Institute for Wisconsin's Future. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
All right. So what is you're not a fan of this idea. What's the problem with it?
Well, there are so many. I'd need a dictionary to go through it. It's terrible economics because it really would hurt the state. It's terrible from a sort of social and moral point of view because it would pile an incredible amount of extra taxes on the lowest paid people that we have. So it's just bad in every possible direction. I am really quite surprised that the governor would go to such extremes. And, you know, the only reason I can think of it maybe is that he's jealous of Paul Ryan getting so much attention recently, and he wanted to do something to get himself back in the headlines.
Well, what about his claim that other states without an income tax are doing very well in terms of economic development?
I mean, they're not really. Texas, they have oil. They have all sorts of things that they can tax. Texas taxes their oil, and they get a lot of money from it. Florida has huge, huge tourism income. Wisconsin is not in either of those situations. Plus the fact that Wisconsin actually has much better public services than either Texas or Florida. And I don't think that residents of Wisconsin would really be happy with the kind of public services that they get in Texas and Florida with that lack of an income tax. And it's been pretty widely studied about the alleged correlation between lowering state taxes and economic growth, and there is no correlation there. You simply do not, as a factual matter, when you look at all the states and do some real number crunching, there is no gain in public growth, in job growth, by lowering taxes. And the reasons are pretty straightforward. What so many businesses need are the very things that taxes support. Things like a well-educated workforce, good roads and infrastructure. These are things that come from taxes, and well-trained employees and good roads are the very things that business needs.
We have lots of calls and lots of Facebook comments here. We have Sheree emailing us. Florida may not charge an annual income tax, but Florida adds fees to almost everything to make up for the lack of an income tax. A first-time license plate in Florida goes for about $400 the last time I checked. Fees on almost everything. And Jim emails, one very important difference between non-income tax states and Wisconsin is the annual registration rates for cars and trucks. Would Wisconsin residents prefer to pay about $500 to $1,000 per year to license a car? So that might be one way for a state to make up for loss in income tax revenue?
Sheree and Jim are absolutely right. The fees are very, very high, and there are other states, low-tax states, that also have auto registration fees, $800, $900. You can find that in places in Arizona and California and elsewhere. Wisconsin is historically a state where the fees are relatively low. Highways, for example. Florida has turnpikes where you have to pay to get on the highway. We don't have any in Wisconsin. All our highways are free. Wisconsin has lower rates for getting your driver's license and registering your vehicle. Even tuition at the UW system, however high it may be, is, relatively speaking, a bargain compared with most other state university systems. In Wisconsin, sometimes we get penalized and look like we have a higher tax rate simply because we tend to put government revenue in the tax category, not nickel and diming and dollar billing people through fees. Other states have this artificial mechanism to hold down the, quote, tax rate by piling on all sorts of additional fees.
We did talk with a professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison, Andrew Rashofsky, in our first half hour, who said that he didn't think that this idea to eliminate the income tax was really feasible, because apparently we raise about $7.5 billion from the income tax, and that would mean, I think he said, increasing the sales tax by 13.5%. Is there something to be said maybe to increase the sales tax or expand the sales tax to other items currently not taxed in order to make up some of the revenue?
Well, Professor Rashofsky is absolutely right, and others have had a calculation that to replace the income tax with the sales tax, the rate would go from 5%, and that which is the current state sales tax, it would go up to about 13.5%. So that would be the effect. Now, the idea of expanding the sales tax, frankly, I think is a good idea, but that's just in the sense that it generates some additional revenue that we need. There are whole lot of services that are simply not subject to the sales tax. The sales tax is a bit of an old-fashioned tax. It, in Wisconsin, at least, it taxes physical items that consumers buy. But today's consumers, compared with 60, 80 years ago, buy a lot more in the way of services than we do physical goods. And those services that we buy are not taxed. Similarly for the services that all sorts of businesses, big and small, buy. So if, in fact, the sales tax were expanded to include things like, you know, legal fees and consultant fees and things like that, health club fees would be another part of it, that would allow us either to get some additional revenue or to lower some of the other taxes. But the idea of doing that to completely eliminate the $7.5 billion of income tax, that's absurd. The studies from the Wisconsin Budget Project, 4 out of 5 Wisconsin taxpayers would wind up paying more in taxes if we substituted a sales tax altogether for the income tax. The only people that would wind up with a lower tax overall would be people in the top 20%, which is roughly $90,000 a year and up.
Let's go to Dave in Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I suppose Walker's proposal would include sales of investments. I mean, high tax on, say, a sale of a share of stock or a piece of property, like a expensive mansion, big building. Would that be included, or are they shielding that from the tax?
Well, good question, Dave, and the answer is absolutely they're shielding it, because the taxes, when you make a profit on selling something, whether it's your house or estate or stock or gold, those come under the income tax. Those are capital gains taxes. They are part of the income tax. To eliminate the income tax means to eliminate all of the taxes you've mentioned. So they would all vanish. You know, the only tax that we have in Wisconsin that balances out the regressiveness of taxes, I can explain it in just a minute, but the only one that we have is the income tax. We used to have an inheritance tax, for example, in Wisconsin. We don't have one anymore. The largest taxes in Wisconsin are three. There's the income tax, the sales tax, and the property tax. The sales tax and the property tax are both regressive, meaning that they have a much greater impact on lower-income people than they do on higher-income people. The income tax has a greater impact on higher-income people, and it offsets the regressiveness of the sales and property taxes. So overall, Wisconsin, according to various studies, is relatively speaking a flat tax state, because we've got a combination of regressive taxes, sales and property, and progressive taxes, income. Get rid of the income tax, and wow, we just have an amazingly regressive tax system.
Mary Rose on Facebook says, I own a small retail business. An increased sales tax would ruin my truly small business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't. To go to 13.5%, which is, again, the only way to do it, according to the Walker's plan, without dramatic cutbacks in state spending, that would be by far the highest tax, the highest sales tax anywhere in America. And it would really make a huge difference, you know, adding $8 to the cost of a $100 purchase. It would really make, it would have a big, big damaging effect on local retailers, local wholesalers all around the state.
We will take a short pause, and then we will welcome more of your calls, your views, and your questions for Jack Norman, Milwaukee-based writer, former research director at the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, who is a critic of the Walker administration's plan to at least study eliminating Wisconsin's state income tax. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, December 23rd, talking with Jack Norman, who is the former research director at the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, about this idea to possibly eliminate the income tax in Wisconsin. The Walker administration is going to be considering that idea, along with increasing the sales tax and other ideas. as tax reform and a major review of the state's tax structure is on the agenda for next year. What do you think about whether or not Wisconsin should eliminate its income tax? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jane emails, if user fees meant no income tax in Wisconsin, I would be for it. That way, those who use the services pay for them. We pay tolls to other states when we travel in them. Those people from those states don't pay anything to support our roads when they travel through Wisconsin. What about that, Jack Norman?
There's absolutely no way that we could come up with enough fees to match the $7.5 billion that we get from the property tax. It's a humongous amount of money, and we could be charging people $15 a mile on the highways and $1,000 and $2,000 a year to register their cars. We could have hunting licenses and fishing licenses that cost $600, and it wouldn't raise the $7.5 billion. So that idea just simply doesn't work from an arithmetic point of view, not to mention, of course, the extraordinary hardship that this would put on so many people. You know, I think it's also worth noting that this is not the only thing that Walker has done that really hits hard at people in the bottom half. This is really just the latest in a whole series of takebacks that we've seen from Walker, others that are actually law now, not just ideas. Cut the earned income tax credit, cut back on the homestead tax credit, cut and tightened up unemployment compensation, Badger Care medical assistance, child care assistance, a whole series of measures that already have become law that are making it much more difficult for people in the bottom half to live. And this idea, this latest idea, would just be like dropping a whole 10-ton anvil on people at the bottom.
Lurie on Facebook says, Walker is floating this issue just so he can say he tried to lower taxes. You want to comment on the politics of this?
That's a good point, because I think it's true, as I said earlier. I mean, he's just looking for publicity. Paul Ryan has actually had some positive publicity recently for sort of taking a bit of a step towards the center in his bargain that he made with the Democrats on the budget. And I think that the governor is just looking to get himself in the headlines and, yeah, get a little bit bragging rights. He can say, well, he tried. You know, the interesting thing, though, is that the place where this is going on is there's a series of secret meetings going around the state. Well, they're semi-secret because the governor announced these meetings that they're being held. The Department of Revenue and Department of Development are having meetings around the state to talk about changes in the tax system, but nobody is allowed into those meetings unless they are specifically invited. There is no openness to the public nor to the media. So we have a series of secret meetings going on to talk about ways of changing the tax policy. This is a terrible way to conduct public policy.
Bill in Sun Prairie is with us now. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Good program. First of all, there was some talk about out-migration from Wisconsin to Florida due to the income taxes here. This year, six members of my family who are in higher income groups moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area because Texas has no income taxes. That's my comment. My question is, economics professors seem to always be in agreement that financial incentives really work. Now, if that's the case, wouldn't that mean that a regressive tax system would work in that it would incentivize people to move from lower tax rates to higher, or from higher tax rates to lower ones? So in that sense, from a purely rational standpoint, and I know you can make an ad hominem argument against the governor, but from a purely financial incentive standpoint, wouldn't it make sense to have lower rates at the higher tax levels?
Jack Norman?
Well, I really have to question how we're going to keep affording the things that we do in Wisconsin. the single biggest spending that we do with state money is in education. By far, that's the biggest. So if we cut the income tax, don't replace it with something else, what do we cut? If we start cutting education, then why would people want to live in Wisconsin? Now, the governor might say, well, you know, if we cut public education, we'll have the private sector will rise to the occasion. Well, that's kind of ironic, because the only reason the private school system in Wisconsin is thriving is because of state money through the voucher program. So the state, with its tax dollars, is in effect supporting the private school system. If you privatize the university system, tuitions go way up and opportunities for Wisconsin students to go to the UW system go way down. So there really is nothing that you can do when you're talking about such a large shift without seriously damaging the basic infrastructure of the state.
So what about people moving to Florida and Texas because they have no income tax, and these are wealthy people who are going to be good for those states' economies?
Some people do, and other people don't. You know, if somebody wants to stash all sorts of money in an offshore tax haven, they'll do it. You know, it's not as if, you know, we can try it. That happens, and I wouldn't deny that there are people who move, rich people who move, because they don't want to share any of their wealth with other people. I mean, it's an extraordinarily selfish point of view, and, you know, we have a free country, and so people can be selfish. There are a lot of other people who are moving into Wisconsin, and the reason they're moving into Wisconsin is because they really appreciate what Wisconsin has to offer, and a lot of that is based on tax revenue. Our wonderful, wonderful lakes and parks, that's supported by taxes. The highways that we use to get around, that's taxes. The quality education system from the UW to the Techs to the K-12, all that's funded out of taxes. And if we just say, okay, cut the taxes so that people stay, then we're going to be really hurting local business people, and we're going to be really damaging the long-term prospects for the state.
Let me jump in, Jack Norman, because I wanted to ask you, we wanted you to react to the Bureau of Labor Statistics releasing numbers last week that Wisconsin is 37th in private sector job growth from June of 2012 to June of 2013 with 24,000 jobs created. That other states, the nation, is growing twice as fast. Why aren't we seeing stronger job growth in Wisconsin?
It's a difficult question. I do. That's absolutely right. And in fact, I've looked at these numbers in considerable detail, and the gap between Wisconsin's growth rate in jobs and the U.S. growth rate pretty much coincides exactly with Scott Walker's tenure in office. My own explanation for why we're so far behind, and I want to add, if we had grown at the same rate as the nation did in terms of jobs, since Governor Walker has had his policies in effect, we'd have 40,000 more jobs going in Wisconsin. So there's a gap of 40,000 there in terms of how Wisconsin is doing and how we would do just at the U.S. average. I think that
we really have run out of time. Should have asked it sooner. I want to thank you very much for being with us. Jack Norman is the former director of the Institute for Wisconsin's Future. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.